Jazz went to the town gate, and he took a seat there. Just then, the family redeemer that he had mentioned came by. So Boaz called out to him.
Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you.
So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer,
You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative, Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it after you.
The man replied,
All right. I'll redeem it.
Then Boaz told him,
Of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family.
Then I can't redeem it.
The family redeemer replied,
Because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it.
Now in those days, it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal, as he said to Boaz,
You buy the land.
Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing around,
You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today.
Then the elders and all of the people standing in the gate replied,
We are witnesses!
May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended.
May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem.
And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah.
So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi,
Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family.
May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than 7 sons.
Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said,
Now at last Naomi has a son again.
And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. This is the genealogical record of their ancestor Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David.
It's an incredible story, and we are really so blessed by all of it as we continue to think about each of that. We have a gift for each couple as they would be exiting. We'll take this week, you'll get this. Next week, you'll get this. It's a book, and it's called The Second Happy, And so it is really seven practices to make your marriage better than your honeymoon. And that's why it's called The Second Happy. It's actually written by Kevin and Marcia Myers. Kevin is a Wesleyan pastor. Actually, I'm friends with Kevin, and know he has 12 Stone, which is our largest Wesleyan church. I think it's probably about 18,000 to 20,000 people that are at that church in Georgia. And so if you'll take this, you'll see that they are QR codes that are on the back. And you can, if you know how to use a QR code, I'll just tell you. Okay, Mike, now just listen, like I have your attention here. You just take your camera off your phone and you put it on that QR code, and immediately another code will come up above. You click that and it'll give you information about our ministry here and what we do. So it's pretty simple. Here, I'll run it through again. You take your camera, put your camera focused on that, and immediately a little note will come up to the top. You click on that, and it'll take you right to more information about our marriage ministry and some of the kinds of things that will be happening. So anybody have a anniversary in February? I know I do, but I'm, not me. March. All right, here you go. We'll give it to you in March. Here you go. And you get that QR code as well, Linda, and make sure. And for everyone who is exiting today, we had baby dedications. Unfortunately, the parent got sick today, was not able to come in for baby dedication in our first service. There are several in our second. So we have baby dedications. This is the end of Ruth, and it is Valentine's. So you get a baby Ruth bar. Isn't that cool? So you all get one of those as you exit. And so so I hear people say, baby Ruth's my favorite. Yes. So you'll get to take that with you. And so in celebration of this particular day as we think about it. We are moving through this particular, there is a Redeemer, this particular lesson today, and it goes like this. Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon with the land I have acquired, Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife." So he gets the land, and Ruth comes along with the land. So the widow comes there. We'll talk about all of that. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear your voice this morning, not mine. We'll give you thanks for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. This is such a great, great story, and I hope that through these 6 weeks that you are really enjoying what you're hearing and really encouraged as a result. First, we kind of went through chapter 3, and at the close, Naomi had encouraged Ruth to go ahead and put herself in that place on the threshing floor at Boaz's feet, and so she was waiting there, and so we know that that was kind of what was the last thing. She was really saying, "You're a family redeemer, and you can redeem me." We don't really use the word redeem much anymore in our culture. I don't know how many of you even remember this, but how many of you remember green stamps? Oh, yeah, lots. Okay, good. This is great. So if you remember those, you used to come home when you'd buy things, they would give you stamps. For you young millennials who have no idea what we're talking about, they would give you stamps, and they were green, and you had a book, and you would lick those stamps. That was my job in our house, and it tasted awful, and your tongue was green. But anyway, and then you would stick them on the book, and you'd fill a page by all of that. Sometimes you got a whole big quantity, and if you were really smart, you used a sponge instead of licking it. I think that took place later in my life. And then you would stick them on. When you had filled a book, so many books that you had, you could take them to the green stamp store and you could, yes, redeem them. Because you had paid the price, you had licked them all, taken them in that book, and then taken them to the store where you could redeem them for special prizes. And there were great things that people had in their kitchen and in their house, and they would say, oh, I got that with green stamps, right? Yes. So here is a redeemer. Has nothing to do with green stamps. But he is a redeemer. So that is a word that we're not real familiar with. But to redeem something, there had to be a price paid. And the price paid then would help that person to buy back that particular item. So there's more than one redeemer in this story. And it's interesting. Do you notice what is the name of the second redeemer? No, we don't know. He's never mentioned. Why? Well, they think that the author is not so keen on this guy because he didn't own up to his responsibility. He passed it. So the author does not include his name in this at all. We only know he's the one who was closest to this. And so he could have redeemed. Now, they think that also that he probably was married. And another wife in the house, yeah, that's just not a good idea. Because he probably had sons. And so then who gets the land and who becomes the heir? Well, this is a bit of a problem. And so it's like, nope, I can't do this. So, but he was the one who was closer, which meant he's probably older. Because he was born first. But while it's true that I am the one of your family redeemers, there's another man who's more closely related to you than I am. This is what he said to her in chapter 3. So Boaz went to the town gate. Now the town gate was where the esteemed and honorable men sat before they left for work for the day. So this was pretty typical, you know, Boaz knew he was going to see this other redeemer there. It was really like the city council or an outdoor courtroom for public meetings. So that's kind of when the city gate, that's how it was an important part, and it often served as an outdoor courtroom. And so all of the, you know, significant people were there. Now, Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Typically, the other redeemer came by, and Boaz invited him to a seat. So this was very typical that each of the esteemed and honorable people, men of the town, would come by this location. And sure enough, the other redeemer does. He comes by, so Boaz invites him to take a seat. Just then, the family redeemer he had mentioned came by, so Boaz called out to him, "Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you." So they sat down together. Now, this is interesting because Naomi had no idea there was anybody. Not one. She didn't even think there was one redeemer. And so she felt like we're going back to a very difficult place. Here now, there are two that actually have that ability. Boaz convened the court with 10 witnesses, even though he only needed two or three. He does tend to be generous. Have you noticed that? He gives lots of barley to Ruth. I got barley this week hanging on my door knob. Someone, I still don't know who it is, had a little package in a pink bag that on the outside said barley from Arlie. I'm pretty sure it was a guy because it was in a pink bag, but it had duct tape wrapped around it. So our investigative skills kind of kicked in and was like, this is a guy. So then after that, then it opened it up and there was a little box there with a little heart on it. And in it was barley. whoever you are. But I do give Sharon barley every day, and she's quite happy with it. It's a little kind of green barley pills, and we take a supplement that comes with us. But anyway, then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. So we only needed two or three, but he called 10. Let's do this big. We want to make sure there's no question at all to this. Now, you kind of do think Boaz had a plan, don't you? You kind of think like he was thinking ahead on all this. He already knew this other redeemer, and he already knew parts of him. So you kind of think that, all right, Boaz is kind of working this. He's kind of playing it and working it all out. The land rights for Elimelech were available, and Boaz surprisingly offered this other family redeemer first right of purchase. So he kind of like, you know, offers it to the other guy, but he already knew the other guy was married. He already knew the other guy had sons. He's probably thinking, because notice how he says it. He doesn't include Ruth in the first kind of statement. He says that, I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away because I am next in line to redeem it after you. Now, what man would not want more land, right? Because that was kind of, you know, all a part of their esteem and like their presence of who they were. And so, of course, he wants more land. So when the land is just offered. Now, for whatever reason, he wasn't kind of in the same know that Boaz was, because he didn't really understand everything that was a part of it. So the other family redeemer accepts his rights to the offer and wished to redeem it. Now, you have to know in this thing, judging by Naomi at this point, I don't know what you think of Naomi, but she just kind of put Ruth in kind of an awkward place, a difficult situation, and sending her to the threshing floor, you know, and all that was a part of that. Well, you can imagine Naomi was at the city gate with Ruth also. And that's what many of the writers believe, that they were there listening. I can imagine Naomi was first, Ruth was behind her. That's just my perception of what I'm seeing. And like listening. So when the other redeemer says, I'll accept it, they must have gone, we were planning on Boaz. Because this relationship had been built for months. Well, it was very typical for the land. And so as they were really understanding what would take place, the land was could be redeemed by the family. And it was intent was to keep the land in the family groups. That was what the whole thing was. And so this was an important part of making sure the redeemer would be able to claim this. Well, Boaz told him that with the land, he gets the widow also. Then Boaz told him, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family. So this land that was coming would go to Ruth's son or children. And so that would keep it in the family and what was a part of that. Now, the other family redeemer, he declines the offer at that point and passes to Boaz. He said, well, then I can't redeem it. The family redeemer replied, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land, I can't do it. So he passes at that point. So then there's this kind of sigh of relief that must have happened. Now, if they didn't, according to Old Testament, if they didn't, whatever the land was, every 50 years, the land would all go back to the original owners, the family. So even if they had been in poverty or difficult circumstances or something had happened, every 50 years it would revert back anyway. So that was all part of that process because God designed it to keep it in the family. Now, the deal was sealed with a sandal. So it's kind of strange. You think, like not just a handshake? They're going to shake a sandal? Well, anyway, now in these days, it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal as he said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Now they have all these witnesses there to make sure that this is a solid deal and it's all clear. Let me share this with you. I don't know if you ever saw this before, but only in my study did I realize, like coming across this. If two brothers are living together on the same property and one of them dies without a son, his widow may not be married to anyone from outside the family. Instead, her husband's brother should marry her. The first son she bears to him will be considered the son of the dead brother. This is the whole thing that's the background for why this happened. So that his name will be forgotten in Israel. But if the man refuses to marry his brother's widow, she must go to the town gate and say to the elders assembled there, "My husband's brother refuses to preserve his brother's name in Israel. He refuses to fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law by marrying me." I don't think I'd want to marry her anyway. The elders of the town will then summon him and talk with him. If he still refuses and says, I don't want to marry her, well, I don't blame him. The widow must walk over to him in the presence of the elders, pull his sandal from his feet, and spit in his face. Whoa! Then she must declare, "This is what happens to a man who refuses to provide his brother with children. Ever afterward in Israel, his family will be referred to as the family of the man whose sandal was pulled off." Deuteronomy 25. Now, isn't that interesting? So I don't know, like, you may have read through the Bible many times, but I don't know if you ever paralleled these two instances of what happens in Ruth and what happens here. So probably, just guessing, being known as the family of the man whose sandal was pulled off might have been better than marrying that woman anyway. If she has the chutzpah to be able to do that, I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. The marriage was announced. The marriage was announced. And so here's what we see. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Boaz confirms his marriage announcement before witnesses because he says, "Then Boaz said to the elders and the crowd standing around, 'You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way, she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today.'" So he announces the wedding before all of them and says, "We're moving on with this." The witnesses confirm the marriage announcement, and the elders and all the people standing in the gate replied, "We are witnesses." Now, as we said, there's about 300 people. You're about that. How about if you just call out that line? Ready? You say, "We are witnesses." Ready? 1, 2, 3.
"We are witnesses."
Yes. And so that's exactly what it would have been. A blessing was offered to the couple. It was a bridal benediction that's actually still practiced today. Because they said, "May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestors, Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah." I don't know how many of you know, my son-in-law is Jewish, and at their wedding, this line was actually used. "May the Lord make you coming to your home like Rachel and Leah." That particular line was a part of the wedding ceremony, which is kind of interesting because the Jewish people use a lot of Old Testament in their ceremonies and a lot of symbolism. Boaz took Ruth as his wife, and her barrenness was gone as God provided a son. Now think about this. It said, so Boaz took Ruth into his home. She became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant as she gave birth to a son. The Lord enabled her to become pregnant. Now, Scripture does say the Lord opens and closes the womb. We see that in Scripture that talks about this. However, remember, Ruth was married for 10 years, never had a child. So this was like an important part. So if she had had a child, this story wouldn't be happening. But because God had a bigger plan, what looked to them like barrenness and discouragement and depression and difficulty and God has forgotten us was really God saying, hold on, I have a plan for you. And it's coming. And it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. And so we see Naomi's bitterness turns to joy as she became a nurse to her grandson. God's blessing rested on Naomi then. Now notice, they really don't say Ruth's child. They say Naomi's child. And so this is better than seven sons. And so you've been incredibly blessed as a result. Then the woman of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May this child be famous in Israel. They say this before they know this child is going to be famous. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age, for he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better than seven sons. That's huge, because the son was always like the firstborn, the heir, the one who... But they say, your daughter-in-law is better than seven sons. Naomi took the baby, cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. Then neighbor women said, now at last, Naomi has a son again. So Boaz and Ruth were given the greatest honor in their son, Obed, for he became the grandfather of David. They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. And through David, we get our Messiah. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, and the family line continued to Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Ammon, Josiah, Jehoiakim, Shealtiel, Zerubbabel. Boy, that's quite a name, huh, Zerubbabel? I haven't seen anybody name their child that lately. Abiud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Akim, Eliahud, Eleazar, Mathan, Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's awesome. And as we think about that, we think, look at those names that came up in that. Ruth is actually in the lineage, one of the Ruth, Rahab as well. Some of the women who are actually mentioned in the family line, which is an incredible honor to be able to say. So God worked powerfully through this story to prepare each of us for a Redeemer as well. And that's the good news. Our Redeemer, whose name is the Lord of Heaven's Armies, is the Holy One of Israel, Isaiah. God brought Naomi back to the land of her God. God brought Ruth with her. God brought Boaz into Ruth's life. God prepared the way to join Ruth and Boaz together. God brought Obed into their lives. God included Ruth and Boaz in the birth line of Jesus. And Boaz, the family redeemer of Ruth, prepared the way for our Redeemer. Scripture says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in his kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Ephesians helps us to put this into perspective. When we look at this whole thing and we see that from the beginning, God had a plan. This is not just in Boaz and Ruth. This is in every one of us. And that's why when you see, even before he made the world, if that doesn't make you feel special, nothing could. Even before he made the world, God loved you. I want you to read this with me, but let's put first person, me, in this place, okay? So when we'll say, God loved me and chose me, okay? Let's read it together. Even before he made the world, God loved me and chose me in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt me into his own family by bringing me to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Now think about this. It gave him great pleasure because he chose you, he loved you, he chose you, and he adopted you. And that made God happy. Isn't it amazing that you could make God happy? So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on me who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased my freedom with the blood of his son and forgave my sins. He has showered his kindness on me along with all wisdom and understanding. That has to be striking a chord inside of you. Let me say, our Redeemer lives. Naomi's return to Bethlehem and the roots of David in Bethlehem, going back to Ruth and Boaz, are why Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem to register in the census of Augustus. Ruth and Boaz are the reason why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But the consideration of Jesus in this book of Ruth doesn't begin with the mention of King David. Jesus has been through the whole book, pictured by Boaz and the office of the kinsman redeemer. The redeemer had to be a family member. Jesus added humanity to his eternal deity so he could be our kinsman and save us. The kinsman redeemer had the duty of buying family members out of slavery. Jesus redeemed us from slavery to sin and death. The kinsman redeemer had the duty of buying back land that had been forfeited. Jesus will redeem the earth that mankind sold over to Satan. Boaz, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, was not motivated by self-interest, but motivated by love for Ruth. Jesus' motivation for redeeming us is his great love for us. Boaz, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, had have a plan to redeem Ruth unto himself. And some might have thought the plan to be foolish. Jesus has a plan to redeem us, and some might think the plan foolish, saving men by dying for them on a cruel cross. Yet the plan works and is glorious. Boaz, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, took her as his bride. The people Jesus has redeemed are called collectively his bride. Boaz, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, provided a glorious destiny for Ruth. Jesus, as our redeemer, provides a glorious destiny for us. But it all comes back to the idea of Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. This is why he became a man. God might have sent an angel to save us, but the angel would not have been our kinsman. Jesus, in his eternal glory, without the addition of humanity to his divine nature, might have saved us, but he would not have been our kinsman. A great prophet or priest would be our kinsman, but his own sin would have disqualified him as our redeemer. Only Jesus, the eternal God, who added humanity to his eternal deity, can be both the kinsman and the redeemer for all mankind. Isaiah 54, 4 through 8 describes the beautiful ministry of the Lord as our goal, our kinsman redeemer, which this mean in the Hebrew means kinsman redeemer. Do not fear, for you will not be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. Your kinsman redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. With everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your kinsman redeemer. From eternity, God planned to bring Ruth and Boaz together and thus make Bethlehem his entrance point for the coming of Jesus as our true kinsman redeemer, fully God and fully man. Isn't that good? That's such a great, great thing.
Hey, what's up, Church Online? Happy Valentine's Day. And if you're one of the singles with us, happy Galentine's Day. Is there a male version of that? Broventine's Day? I'm not sure.
You should create it.
I'm Pastor Eddie.
And I'm Pastor Brandon.
It is so good to be here with you today. Thank you for joining in online. You are so valuable, and we love connecting with you guys. If you could do me a favor, comment right now where you're watching from, because I know that we have some people from all over the United States, I think all over the world.
The world, yeah. There's multiple countries.
Jump in. Yeah. So tell us right now where you're joining in from. We'd love that. But we're going to dive deep into what Pastor Arley just talked about. What an incredible message on Ruth 4. What were some of your takeaways?
Yeah, wrapping up with Ruth 4, our love story culminated in a marriage.
Yeah.
And offering this line. And it's interesting when you hear about Naomi coming back into the story now here at the end of her line isn't finished like she had initially thought, you know, because of this Redeemer who redeemed her family now. And little did she know that she's in the direct line of the Messiah. But what I love is this marriage that we see here is preparation to Jesus coming and just being the great equalizer and who is involved in the family. He's our family redeemer, and in the end, he's going to come back for his bride. Yeah. So you and I are the bride of Jesus. And I just love that comparison when you read here for what's coming, Jesus, the redeemer, but what's coming that hasn't even happened yet, this great marriage ceremony that we're going to have with Jesus when he returns.
Yeah, and I love that conversation about the lineage and about how like Ruth didn't even know that she was going to be a part of all of this. And you even think about their son, Ruth and Boaz's son, Obed. His name means worshiper, which I think is so awesome, because it's like this continuation of worship in this lineage that's going to contain Jesus. Oh, that's so cool.
So good.
Well, hey, we got some really awesome things coming up. And one of them you have probably already seen already. It's the newsletter CWC Now. So if you haven't seen it in your inbox yet, it's an email that contains all the stuff that we have coming up, all the exciting and incredible things that are going on here at Christ Wesleyan. And you need to be a part of it. So if you are not getting it right now, head over to cwc.life and make sure you sign up there to be able to connect with us.
And while you're there, tomorrow, if you're there tomorrow, we have something called a podcast.
Oh.
And I know a lot of our viewers who have been listening and watching for a while, you know this. We have a podcast. Go to cwc.life and watch it with friends, do it with a small group. But it just dives deeper into what we just heard today. So sign up for our Dive Deep podcast. It's a really cool a thing. But also, I want you to know, too, I'm going to give a teaser. That's okay, Pastor Eddie.
Absolutely.
Can I give a teaser to our audience?
Definitely.
Real quick. So Ruth just ended, you know, yep. Roaz, the story of Roaz.
That's and
the,
right, Roaz. You know,
so next week, we're going to start and... we're going to start something called the Passion Week leading up to Easter, because we're almost to Easter.
Right.
And so the Passion Week, the events that happened there, the prophecy that was fulfilled just in that week, and even the final days of Jesus, we're going to talk about a different love story for 6 weeks, and then culminating in the 7th week, which is Easter. But this love story involves you and me. You want to check it out? It all begins next week. So we hope to see you back with your friends, with family members who maybe don't know the love story of Jesus.
Man, I'm excited. That sounds good.
It's going to be great. We're going to kick it off next week. We hope to see you there.
See you there.